I am Plata on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Jay Ono joins me now. The executive director of Vancouver Theatre Sports is on to talk about Murder on the Improv Express, a killer comedy at the Improv Centre on Granville Island, the 12th of April to the 26th of May. As a luxury train crosses the Canadian Rockies, there is a murder. There's also a socialite, a retired military officer, and a famous detective on board. As improvisers take inspiration from the audience and create the script, much merriment and laughter can be had. You might even kill yourself with laughter, taking the plot's twists and turns. I'll get Mr. Ono to tell us about his years at Vancouver Theatre Sports, about improv, its importance and benefit, as well as VTSL's place in the arts community. Visit VTSL.com for tickets and information. The Improv Center at 1502 Durinlow Street is a fully licensed facility that over 52 weeks a year entertains more than 60,000 people. VTSL also owns and operates the Improv Comedy Institute that offers classes to beginners and professionals alike. Jay Ono joined VTSL in 1983 and became its executive director in 1994. He has many television, film, and stage credits and has spent over 30 years in the entertainment industry producing, consulting, directing, and teaching. We are joined in conversation with Nathan Clark. He is a co-artistic associate and a member of the ensemble. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Jay Ono. Mr. Ono, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning to you. Thanks for having me joined here by Nathan. Wow, it's early.
Thank you
for having us.
It is. Is it late nights for you guys, usually?
Well, we both have kids, so tonight is late.
Yeah. And every morning is early. So. Yeah.
So, Jay, I know you've been with Theatre Sports, I guess. I guess you joined right out of high school. Nathan, what's your history with the company?
I started in 2000. I started taking the workshops then and started performing kind of later in that year, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah, so Dave, I'm fascinated by improv because it's something that obviously when one goes, it's awfully entertaining. One can have a great time. And the Murder on the Improv Express sounds like a great concept. But for someone to get up there and do it, it's one thing. But to do it professionally, as both of you have, I mean, how do you explain that? I mentioned a moment ago, Jay, that you started right out of high school. I mean,
yeah,
what was the spark, say, that wanted you to continue doing this and do this? Say more than just an avocation, but a vocation.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt that improvisational theater is like the purest form of theater. You're writing, directing, and acting at the same time. I just found it the nature of working with an ensemble and then working with a few people on stage, that being an ensemble-based activity was really good, and the whole... all the values about improv, like making the other person look good, not being afraid to take risks, accepting failure, I mean, those are all great life skills as well. And I love being in front of people, making people laugh. So it's been part of my life for, since 1983.
Yeah. And so, Nathan, I'm making people laugh, I mean, is it something that you always wanted to do, say, growing up?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as Jay here. I mean, growing up, I was always a fan of comedy. Saturday Night Live was a huge influence, or Kids in the Hall, or, shows like that. And kind of when I got out of high school, I thought, it's something I'd like to do. I didn't really realize that you could make money at it necessarily, but I knew of theater sports, and I knew, that, I loved watching the shows, so I took workshops through there, and fortunately have been able to stick around for as long as I have. But yeah, and like Jay said, I was also drawn to ensemble-based work. Like I play team sports. This is a team sport where you're working together to create something and supporting each other in the moment. And that's something that I was drawn to as well.
And I'm assuming, Nathan, that has something to do with the way you guys work in running this company and the institute and every managing these properties that VTSL has.
I mean, there's a huge team component to it. With this show that we're doing now, as an example, during the rehearsal process, the ensemble is a huge part of that because we bring to them a format or a first draft, so to speak, and the ensemble really makes makes it work. Really, we together find the things that make the show click or really make the show pop. So they're a huge part of that. So without that, if it was just one person just putting this together or bringing it to it, I mean that you could do it that way, absolutely, but this way everyone's involved and everyone has a piece of it and kind of feels like more of a sense of ownership for the show.
Yeah. So Jay, when one goes to the Improv Center the April 12th through to the 26th of May, what can they expect when they walk into the place? I guess if you get there early, you can get a drink and then you can bring it into the actual theater space, right?
Exactly. The big thing now, or we've been focusing on for the last 15 years, is really the guest experience. So what is that experience? What feeling do they get when they walk into the venue? How are they greeted by our front of house staff? People have so many options to do in Vancouver. I think that, being competitive, you need to have great people that connect with people, because it's just not what happens on stage, it's the whole package. They can expect a great time. I think it's a great way, a shared experience, if you're on a date, if you're out with family or out with friends. You know, we have 13 shows a week, and Murder on the Improv Express takes up three of those time slots, so there's something for everybody. People can upgrade to see other shows while they're here at a discounted rate. So, and the view on Granville Island from our lounge is just gorgeous.
I noticed that I was reading the thing on your website. The lounge is named after Neil McRae. Is that right?
That's correct. So when we were building the Improv Center during the renovation, it was actually quite funny because Bro Jake and yeah. Neil, I think they were on C-Box at the time, but Bro Jake kept on bugging Neil to, hey, there's this improv group, they're doing a fundraiser, they're looking for someone to name the bar after. Neil, you've always wanted a bar, why don't you sponsor these, like, not-for-profit company? And yeah. This went on for, like, 2 or 3 weeks on air.
Yeah.
Every time they were together, Bro Jake would, like, tear into Neil. So eventually he we met with him a couple times and he really liked what we do. So he donated some money and we named the bar after him.
Yeah, he's a much missed figure in this town.
Oh, for sure,
certainly. Yeah. Yeah. So Murder on the Improv Express sounds fascinating because a lot of us I certainly am fascinated with trains. And murder stories on trains it's just delicious to whenever you get the chance to say watch it on television, film, or even on the radio. You know, the English do this so well. There are always these fascinating characters, and I guess that's what the ensemble brings in this show, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The character. There'll be there'll be big characters kind of based on the Agatha Christie style characters from those shows. The show is set in the 30s as well, so there's that angle. And each night, the characters will also, like the core main cast of characters will change for each show as well. It won't be set ones for every show. They'll use those kind of characters to inspire what they're bringing to the show each night. And there'll also be a Perot character as well, as the detective who's kind of leading us through the story. So to speak.
And so how many members of the ensemble are on stage nightly?
There'll be the host or Detective Perot character, and then there'll be six other ensemble members, and those characters will change each night.
And so
seven in total.
Seven, and then so how does the audience get involved? I'm doing this for the benefit of people listening to us who may not have gone to a theater sports show. But maybe interested in going. The level of participation, I mean, that's as much as they want, I guess, right?
Throughout the show, the characters, they'll go to the audience to get suggestions to inspire the characters, or we plan to use an audience member, at least one in the show, and then that could change each night as well, depending. Throughout the show, the audience members' ideas are used to help propel the story and keep the story going or to inspire the characters.
Yes, and if I can add one thing that people are afraid of when they come to theater sports is that we pull people from the audience.
Yeah.
So we don't do that. We you know, we asked for people to participate, and it's totally up to them if they want to volunteer or not. Even if their friend is pointing at them going, pick him, pick him, we won't pick that person. So people don't need to be afraid. We're not a stand-up comedy club.
Yeah.
And can I also give a shout-out to our technical improvisers as well, because often people come to our shows and think that all the lighting or sound cues are just completely set, and that, but that's really not the case. Often they're improvising along with us, and they do such a great job that you don't even realize that they're improvising. They're so good at it. So shout-out to our lighting and sound improvisers as well, because they really help bring the show alive.
Yeah. And so you can bring the drinks into the actual theater space too, right?
Yeah. Sure.
The benefits of improv, you touched on that a moment ago when we started the conversation. I mean, the skills one learns in improv, I mean, those are just myriad, aren't they? And they can help people in, not only in their work, say, but in their life. And I guess you two guys are examples of that.
Yeah, well, probably Nathan, probably not me. I'm just joking. But, you know, working with anybody with doing improv is so empowering. Just people being able to express themselves, being able to value their own ideas and the ideas of others, and just the self-confidence that goes along with that, you know, thinking on your feet, dealing with the unexpected, you know, improv, Nathan mentioned earlier, it's all about being in the moment, so there's so much that comes out of there, and storytelling, you know, we do that every day, we tell stories around the water cooler, you know, in the car, driving to work with somebody, so, you know, it's full of passion, and it's a great way. Creativity is a muscle, and people need to work that muscle just like anything else.
Yeah, and it's something for both the young and the old, right?
Oh, for sure. There's no age limit on you know, kind of getting involved. Sometimes we have people phone us for our workshops that we offer and say, you know, I'm kind of this age. Is that too old to get started? And the answer is always no. Of course not. Like you can start. Therapists at any age. It's not just for, you know, a certain, you know, age demographic. So if anyone out there is thinking about it, because a lot of people come to us and they've been like, man, I've been thinking about getting into comedy for years. And it really is never too late. And we have people from all ages in our company.
And Jay, you're someone who you've been with the company since the 80s. I'm wondering, I mean, in terms of the numbers of the people that have gone through, that have taken those skills and gone on to bigger and better things, not only in, say, show business, but in business, I'm assuming. I mean, you probably encountered folks like that, right?
Oh, definitely. We also do improv for business, so it's taking improvisation and improvisational exercises into the corporate sector. And, you know, you can practice leadership, teamwork, creativity, presentation skills, and then the people that come to our workshops, we find, you know, 40% are kind of doing it for some kind of career thing, whether they want to be a performer or whether they're a teacher wanting to learn some new stuff. And the other 60% are just people that want to try it out and do it because they feel, you know, it makes them feel empowered and all that. And I feel that improv is like golf. Like, you can play it at any age, and you just get better and better.
Yeah. Do you find when, say beginners and beginners of any age, really, you know, young people and older people, when they, whatever skills or experiences they bring, how much of that do you think is influenced by what they see on television or popular culture? I mean, if something's funny in the moment, like there was a time there where, well, I guess SNL has always been, you know, it's something that everyone watches, you know, generations watch it at different times, but certain things in comedy, I mean, like say slapstick versus say an interest in the storytelling that a stand-up comedian does. I mean, do you find that the people are bringing these trends to bear when they come through?
I think sometimes people do, absolutely, but what we kind of do in our training is try to teach them to not try to be funny, and to find the comedy in the moment. And it's really rooted in storytelling, coming in with characters, the defined characters, storytelling techniques, and the comedy will come from that. And with improv, that's a lot of it is the things arising from the moment. So not that you've come in with this idea that you've seen on a TV show that you think will be really great. It's more like it just comes from the moment, and you can't believe that just happened.
Yeah, and there's a few different. I find, like, within our ensemble over the years, you have kind of theater artists who are trained, you know, in classic theater, scripted work.
Yeah.
And then we have a pool of stand-up comedians. So their styles influence the kind of basic improv skills that we practice.
Uh-huh.
There are some people that are, we call, verbal players. So they're really witty, you know, really good at storytelling. And there are some that are just really physical. So they do really strong characters. And they can, you know, paint the environment, and so there's many different types of improvisers at a professional level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so what's it like then? I mean, you must have horror stories in terms of say a bad night on stage where you know the audience might be say a group of tourists who don't speak English. I mean, has that happened? Are there funny things like that have happened over the years?
Yeah. An average of one or two out of every 10 scenes die miserably on the stage. And I think the whole thing about dying, like you forget what it was like the last time you died on stage.
Right.
And it's the most horrific thing for me. And I've been in part of some really bad kind of faux pas, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, you know. It just comes out and the audience just turns. You can feel when the audience turns on you. It's just this feeling in the room. You just want to crawl into a hole.
The longer you do it, though, the quicker you get over those things, though. That's what I found, anyway. It used to last for weeks, and then now it's, you know, a couple hours after the show, and then you move on to the next one. But sometimes you do run into very difficult audiences as well. But we have such a great professional group down here, not only with our ensemble, but the whole package, front of house staff, and you know our 10 improvisers. You know, everyone there, everyone knows how to kind of. Again, we're improvising in the moment there too. We're adjusting to what the audience needs or what we have to do to get that audience on board with us too.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Nathan, just. You know, I guess how it burns, you know, it burns a lot faster now than it did, say, earlier in one's career. I guess that goes back to something when he said a moment ago. It really is a muscle, isn't it, that you have to keep toned, and if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing is I find there's two beliefs. One is people feel that either people are funny or they're not, and the other belief is everybody's creative, and it's just a matter of tapping into it. So either people are creative or not, or the other train of thinking is everybody's creative, it's just a matter of tapping into it.
Yeah. Well, what's it like for the both of you? I mean, you mentioned kids a moment ago. We're all talking in the city about how unaffordable it is. People in the arts, people in the performing community usually suffer the most in situations like this. You guys have been able to live and work here in Vancouver. I mean, do you think you must talk to colleagues where that's impossible for them?
It's certainly challenging, but what we find is, everyone has multiple jobs that they're doing, sometimes all at once, but you have a lot of different irons and a lot of different fires, and you're just always kind of hustling to see, to get work. So it's in the arts, for anyone, really, it's never, stability isn't really a thing that exists, but you can definitely, and over time, of course, as you meet more and more people in different contexts, you can definitely make a living, but you just really have to keep kind of keep hustling and keep trying to take gigs where you can. So that's kind of the trade-off, though, is you get to do this great, cool thing, but at the same time, you never really know at the beginning of the month how that calendar is going to fill up. But I find for myself and for our ensemble members here, the calendar does get filled up by the end. It's just, you know, you kind of knock on wood at the beginning of each month, though, that's for sure.
Right. Jay, what's it like to look back at all this? I mean, you've been the executive director of VTSL since 94, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, the thing's just grown, hasn't it? I mean, not only in terms of the number of facilities and the institute that's part of it, but I mean, just the numbers in terms of audience members year after year. I mean, I read somewhere it's about 60,000 people come down there to the island every year.
Yeah, 65 to 70.
Really?
It's just amazing. And, you know, every day the theater's full. There's always so much, you know, there's so much that we're excited about in the future. And everything in the past to me kind of, I remember the hard times and, you know, even as a performer, how tight of times it was for theater sports. And to me, it's amazing that this organization is here and that we're so strong. And I think that kind of really goes down to the quality of work that people do around here. But it's been a huge roller coaster for theater sports. But yet we have so much opportunity ahead of us. So...
Well, long may it continue, and all the best to both of you, and I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for this.
Yeah,
me too.
Thanks for having us.
Hope to see you at the theater soon.
Yeah.
Visit VTSL.com for tickets and information. Murder on the Improv Express, a killer comedy, is on at the Improv Center on Granville Island the 12th of April through to the 26th of May. Jay Ono and Nathan Clark join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plantin.